Father, we thank you this morning. Oh, we thank you for your anointing. Praise you. Thank you. And as we talk about the anointing exchange today, I receive by faith the anointing that has been placed upon me and in me and on this ministry. And I thank you for it. I praise you for it and for our partners all over the world. Oh, glory be to God for them. It's amazing to me and blesses me more every day of my life. I pray it this morning in Jesus' name, and therefore I fully expect it to come to pass. Amen. Amen. All right. Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Thank you, Lord. Verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. Let's just stop right there. Do you believe and understand and know that it's very important to keep the commandments of God? God has had healing and prosperity for his people from the day of the fall. Amen. And it's all over the Bible. But Jesus said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all your power. Oh, there's a lot in that. And what does power mean? Everything you have. Everything, all of your influence, whatever it is, use it for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
So, then he said, and love your neighbor as yourself, fulfilling all the law and the prophets. And then it's talked about the Apostle Paul said that all of the law is, I'm paraphrasing, all the law is satisfied in this one saying, love your neighbor as yourself. For love will do no harm to his neighbor. But the 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th chapters of John are all in one spot. The meal, the night that changed heaven and earth forever. Amen. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to study. And Jesus began to talk about, but before he gave this commandment, let's turn over there. 13th chapter of the book of John. Don't get away from the book of Ephesians there. We're coming back. In the 13th chapter of John, Jesus knew that his hour was come. Now, it's amazing here. 27th verse. After the sop, Satan entered into Judas. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spoke this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said to him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Now, you really have to have a reputation for giving to the poor, because this is in the middle of the night in a very most important Seder meal. So it must have happened before. That right in the middle of the night, Jesus just tells Judas to get up and go give this to somebody. So he had a reputation of that. Then having received the sop, immediately went out. It was night. Therefore, when he was gone, Jesus purposely got him out of that room so that he could come down to the most important part of that night. So now he's gone. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I'm with you, you shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, where I go, you cannot come. And now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. That is our commandment. And it's not just when things are nice. This is a commandment. You learn to walk in and be aware of it every day. This is the last thing at night, whether I'm at home or not. And the very last thing, I'll tell Gloria good night. I'll tell you something funny about her. There are times we just get in bed and watch Brother Hagin on the iPad or something. You know? And one night we were doing that. And so I have a little wooden stand thing there, and I just put that iPad up. And something that I hadn't heard him, a particular service that I wanted to hear. Anyway, we got it on YouTube. And so I leaned over there to kiss her goodnight. She said, not in front of Brother Hagin. She is a hoot, I tell you, all the time. So, but anyway, that's the last thing before I shut my eyes. I love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength. I love my neighbor as myself. And according to the 13th chapter of the book of John, verse 34 and 35, I love the brethren. I keep the commandment of love. And I walk in that and stand in that. In the name of Jesus, with his help, I can do it. Amen. So, and developed that over a lot of years. And then the first thing in the morning, it puts you in a place in a good place. If that's the last thing you do at night, and you've done it a long, 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 long time, then the next morning, it's still there. It's on your heart and mind all the time. And when you step out for the day, then that's alive in you. And years ago, I began to develop this to a place where it became just a way of life and to renew my mind to it. So I just wake up, get up, and I say, Lord, I just forgive everybody today. I just forgive everybody today. And wherever I go, if they say something ugly, they're already forgiven. So I don't get blindsided and then have to repent because of what I wish I hadn't said. Amen. Just forgive before you ever start out. Or at times you're in some place and you sense something like that. And before you walk into a store, just stop. Lord, I just forgave everybody in this store. And I was very glad I did one time. More than once, but one time. I was in a Walmart store. You know, you can have a meeting in a Walmart store. And there was a guy walked up to me. And he said, huh, you're that guy on television? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, you're just as ugly off of it as you are on. And just turned around and walked off. Well, I mean, think about what he said. He's right. Whatever I am, that's what I am, whether I'm on television or not. And in his eyes, I was ugly. So, I mean, what's the use of getting aggravated at him about that? Glory to God. Actually, when you think about it, that's a compliment. Because I'm the same way off of television that I am when I'm on. I dress a little different. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. He had a good day that day. Now, let's go back to the book of Ephesians. And you're going to find this, you're going to find this all over the New Testament, particularly with the Apostle Paul. He's the one that wrote the 12th, 13th, 14th chapters of 1 Corinthians. I show you a better way, love. Glory to God. Now, he experienced the love of Jesus because he had persecuted him. Did you ever notice that when the power of God knocked him to the ground and he said, Saul, Saul, he did not say, why are you persecuting my people? He could have said that. No, no. Now get this, this is flowing right into the same area that we're talking about. Why do you persecute me? So if you or if I or any other believer has something ugly to say about another believer, you just said that about Jesus. He takes it personal. Isn't that good? Yes. And that means he's watching out for you and he's watching out for you. He takes it personal with the things that happens to us. And he doesn't like what the devil tries to do to us either. And if we'll bring him on the scene, the devil can't get away with it. But you have to constantly live like that. For instance, we get in the airplane. The first thing. I put my hand on the side of that airplane and I say, Father, I plead the blood over this airplane for protection against every evil spirit, every evil person, every evil thing, every evil plan of the devil is bound and stopped and thwarted. Ministering spirits, lift us up in your hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone, and keep us in all of our ways according to the 91st Psalm, and bless our partners all over the world, wherever they may be. Every time we fly, that's just part of it. So, if you get on the airlines, I suggest you do the same thing. You own that spot where you are. You bought a ticket, that seat belongs to you. So in that case, that airplane belongs to you. And you do the same thing. You pray for us, you pray for the family, pray for all the other partners, because we're a team. And I mean put the devil where he belongs, outside. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. So, now, in order to do that, and be effective, you're going to have to do two things. Now, John, in 1 John, talking about that commandment, he said, this is his commandment, that we believe on the name of his son Jesus and love one another.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Now, as partners, we need to do that. Amen. And we're partners together. We are a worldwide team. Amen. So, now you come, let's come back over here now to the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Verse 4, there is one body, one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now, it's one baptism that has three parts. And the scripture says we are baptized into the body of Christ. We're baptized in water. If you hadn't been baptized in water, get it done. Or maybe if you were baptized in water when you were just a young child and it didn't mean much to you, hey, do it again. That happened to me. I was baptized when I was a little boy, but Aunt Gloria was baptized when she was a little girl. And our children hadn't been baptized, so we just had our pastor, which at that time was Harold Nichols, we just had him baptize all three of us. I mean, man, it meant something that time. Whew, glory to God, because we knew what we were doing. And we just had a joyful time. Came up out of that water praying in tongues, praise God, just slinging water in every direction, you know, grinning from ear to ear. Amen. So now, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now look at that statement. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. In Texas, we'd say, one of the God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in y'all. Y'all got him. I mean, he's in there. He's above all, and he's in you all. I love it. But unto every one of us is unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now listen to this. He gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? We know what happened. I mean, Jesus didn't just die physically. This is really hard on Christian people that are not aware of these things. But Jesus died spiritually. What is spiritual death? Separation from God. Now, that had to happen to him. In your King James Bible, in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, when it said, in his death, you'll see in the margin, it says deaths, plural. Not just his body, but his spirit, separated from God, went into hell and suffered there more than any human being will ever suffer, because he suffered it all. Amen. That's magnificent. Glory to God. Now then, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. Now listen, it said he gave gifts unto men. What are those gifts? And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Well, now why, Jesus, why did you do that? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, wait a minute, let's take that apart. For the perfecting of the saints. Now, Jesus did that immediately. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers. He did it immediately. Now, if it took all five of those back there then, it still does. I mean, people are the same today as they were then. Now, I do want to add to this. He's the one that did it. Jesus is the one that did that. And I have seen and have known of certain people that they just set up a committee in a church said, we're going to have a New Testament church, and we're going to appoint apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. You're not qualified to do that. That is not the act of a deacon board. Now, don't get quiet on me here all of a sudden. Oh, I understand. It's the little mask that's muffling you. No, it's not your little mask that's muffling you. No, I know. I mean, you're absorbed in it. I understand that. And I give you, for instance, I'd already heard it in my spirit when I began. Well, in the first place, coming out of the Baptist church, I didn't think there was anything left but pastors and evangelists. Well, what do you think a missionary is? The word apostle just means one sent. Amen. And certain denominations didn't like women preachers, but they had a lot of women missionaries. So, had they only known it, they had a whole lot of women apostles because they themselves sent them to foreign lands. Yes. And that's legitimate. But I had that. I knew it in my spirit that the ministry of the prophet was coming. It was strong on the inside of me. And I've discussed it with the Lord, and he said yes. But I said, now, Lord, I am not going to announce that. I am not going to self-appoint myself as a prophet. I'm not about to do that. I said, you're going to have to do it yourself. I just forgot about it. And we were at camp meeting in Tulsa. I was a speaker that year in camp meeting, and it was Saturday night, 1977. Last night, Brother Hagin had already started giving the invitation. And the Lord said, get on your knees. I was right behind him on the stage. I said, Lord, I'll call attention to you. He said, get on your knees now. And I just hit my knees. And just as I hit my knees, he said, yeah, that's right. I'll tell you. Ken Copeland, just as my knees hit the floor of the Lord. You're going to have to do more about the healing ministry. And said some more things about the healing ministry. And he said, you'll have to get over into that healing ministry a little sooner than you thought you would. You're not getting out ahead of God. You're keeping step with God. It's more to be obedient to God. So. Then he said, and listen to how he put it. He said, and whether you want to or not, you're going to operate in the office of the prophet. Amen. The seer, standing right in the pulpit. You'll see it like you saw it run off on a television screen, and you'll be able to minister to the people. Amen. And I thought, he announced it. So here we go. And later, and there was 9,000 people in that auditorium that night. And after that service, oh, you know, I was just so blessed, and the Lord said, "Was that to your satisfaction or something like that?" He said, "I announced it all right, didn't I?" I said, "Yes, you did. 9,000 people heard it, and it's on tape. Glory to God." Well, then I didn't know what to do with it after I got it, because I began to struggle with it. What do I teach? And the Lord said, don't try to reconcile it. Don't make it happen. Let it happen. He said, didn't I teach? I said, well, yes, you did. He said, didn't I function as a prophet? I said, yeah, you called yourself a prophet. But he said, I did more teaching than anything else. And he said, you will teach from the level of a prophetic anointing rather than just the anointing of the teacher. Praise God. So now notice, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. What for? For the perfecting of the saints. For what? For the work of the ministry. Not the work of the ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. The ministry among the body. Christian people should be ministering to people all the time instead of getting so caught up in business or caught up in church. Did you know going to church is not serving God?
Oh, yeah. Amen.
That's not serving God.
Amen.
Unless you get busy while you're there. Amen. Doing what he says.
Yes.
Amen. And just take it upon yourself to pray for the pastor and not criticize him or her or anybody else in there. Well, you know how I love Pastor. Well, I know something's coming, so don't give me that con job before you criticize Pastor. Uh-oh. I was about to get too close. I want to tell you something. I just need to tell you something. The staff and the people in this place are just marvelous. And I mean, they had to wake this building up after a long time of not being used, and the transformers are down in the basement, and there's a lot of moisture, you know, in a basement situation, and corrosion and dirt and all of that gets into equipment. And we had a lot of stuff last night, but oh, I'm telling you, I mean, they were working and scrambling to get it, you know, get it right. Bunch of great people and have been. We've had just marvelous association with this place all the time we've been here. And just go ahead and give them a thanksgiving clap before the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Now then, I wanted to point that out. The body has a ministry to the body of Jesus. Now, when they diagnosed, I started having shortness of breath. And so the doctors that examined me said, you need a pacemaker. So I said, Lord, I don't need that. I'm just going to do it by faith. He said, no, you're too far behind the power curve. What does that mean? Well, it's an aviation term. There is a place where you can get an airplane where it's just about to stall, and you can get it there to the point where all the power the airplane has will not bring it out of the stall, and it's going to go in. That's the power curve. He said, receive the pacemaker by faith. I said, yeah, I can do that in the name of Jesus. So I did. And I blessed the thing. Now, it had a defibrillator built in it. And now, the FAA has had a lot of experience with pacemakers, but not that built-in defibrillator. I set that thing. I got all excited on the treadmill one time and set that thing off. But here's what I want to tell you. I got on the treadmill and went to work. Now, I had not failed a flight physical, but it had been, you know, they suspended them there for a while over COVID. Well, then all of this stuff happened before I went back to take another physical. And so I just didn't take one until I was ready to go take it. Now, I got on the treadmill, and there's something called the Bruce Protocol. And this is an aviation thing. And if you've had any kind of heart situation, to get your physical back, you have to pass that Bruce Protocol, and it's on a treadmill. And it goes up to 14-degree incline. And now here's what I'm to get down to this. I heard the Lord say, I stepped up on that treadmill. Now, I could have just took the pacemaker and the defibrillator and go sit down and do nothing. I'm just not built like that. So I started training. I heard the Lord say this in my spirit. He said, Kenneth, I sacrificed my body for yours. Now you're sacrificing your body for mine. Not to get my physical back, which I did, but not to get the physical back, but to live to be 120 and minister to his people.
Amen.
That's the main thing. So I did the Bruce Protocol with the defibrillator intact, passed it, no problem. And then, after I had passed the Bruce Protocol with the built-in defibrillator in there, the tech rep came out and paired up with the pacemaker and turned the defibrillator off because I don't need it. Amen. So I was able to pass that Bruce Protocol with, I never did breathe hard. Why? Because I was training at the Bruce Protocol before everyone over there and took it. I need to stay alive. I need to stay in good health. I'm not going to live to 120 in a wheelchair. Or like this. I'm not going there. Amen. And I have people all the time say, do you put anything on your hair? Yes. Of course I do. You know what it would have looked like this morning if I hadn't? Well, no, Brother Copeland, you know what I mean. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. When it started turning gray, I started speaking to it. And I had considerable amount of gray. And no, this is part of the testimony of living that long. And I just talked to Jesus about it. I said, yeah, if you want a gray-headed man, I don't mind. The Bible has something to say about that, and it's not bad. But I said, what's the testimony? The keeping testimony of the word of faith. So I started speaking to it. And now the gray is gone.
Amen.
Now it didn't happen in 2 or 3 weeks or 2 or 3 days, but I didn't count the days. I just do it every day.
Amen.
Just speak to it. Amen. And talk to the spots where there's supposed to be more hair. Well, yeah, speak to the dead hair follicles to live and not die and be part of the testimony. I believe this. Amen. I believe every word of this. Praise God. So, anyway, the key factor there is the love of God, because faith works by love. I want you to see this part. until we all come. So there's ministry that has to go forth among what religious people call the laity. I don't know where that came from. Between the members of the body of Christ, there's ministry that has to come till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. There's several things here. Unto a perfect or a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Wait a minute. To the fullness of the anointing. Now, what is the anointing? Well, Brother Copeland, that's just when you pour oil on somebody. Well, that's part of it. You want to get your phone and get your dictionary and look up anointing? Isn't that something? Everybody in the room got a dictionary in their pocket. Anoint, smear, or rub with oil, typically as part of a religious ceremony. To smear, to rub. Well, that's with oil. My mother used to anoint me with Vic's salve. I wonder how far back Vic's salve goes. Thank you, sir.
To dedicate to the service of God.
Yeah, what?
To dedicate to the service of God.
Yeah, to dedicate, to anoint. My mother put that Vic's salve all over my chest, stick it up my nose, stick it in my mouth. What was she doing? Rubbing on. Now we know what to be anointed of God is.
Ooh, glory.
That's when he comes on.
Yeah, glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah.
All right, go to the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. And let's just settle this once and for all of what we're talking about here. Acts chapter 10. Verse 38, how God anointed, how God smeared, rubbed over, rubbed into Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Oh, now, hey, there's power involved with the anointing of God. Now, we're talking today about the anointing exchange. You could say the power exchange. So, let's go over now to the book of Luke, chapter 4. Now, yesterday afternoon and then again this morning, the Lord talked to me about this, about till we all come to the full stature of Christ. Well, that's what the word Christ means. It's just English for anointing. It's translation of the Hebrew word Messiah, which means anointed.
Amen.
Amen. Now, the Apostle John is the only one that actually translated Christ into Messiah. You'd be surprised to find out how many people think Christ is Jesus' last name, because they just never have thought about it. If you don't ever think about it, it was years ago. I had never thought about it. It just never dawned on me to think about it. And I was at the dedication of a very good friend's church. And I was just there, you know, help. And just, we were all just still standing up there. He said, Brother Copeland, you have anything you want to say? I said, no. But I never had thought about it before. It just came out of him. Did you ever realize that Christ is not Jesus' last name? That Christ means to anoint, to christen? Amen. To christen. And I said, it's talking about the anointing of God that's on him and in him. So when you read the word Christ, stop and meditate and translate. Is this referring to the anointing power, or is it referring to Jesus himself, or is it referring to both? Very, very interesting. So I went through the New Testament and did that in all of those cases and looked to see. Is it talking about him personally? I can do all things, the King James translation, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, not who. And other translations have translated it who. You haven't mistranslated it because you can't separate the anointed one from the anointing with which he is anointed. Amen, because he is the anointed one.
Yes.
He is the Messiah. Amen. Praise God. But God is the anointer.
Yes.
How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That wrapped it up in one statement right there. But how did he become known as the Christ? Luke chapter 4. You know, what do you think about when you think about Jerry Savelle's ministry? You think about the ministry into which I'm called. You think about Kenneth Hagin's ministry. We are preachers of faith. So you're one of those faith guys. Yes. Oh, yes. And I've had people say that, you know, thinking they were insulting me. You're one of those blab it, grab it, name it, claim it buds. Yes. Yes, I am. I named it, claimed it, blabbed it, grabbed it, and I still have it. But I named it by faith, according to the Word. I claimed it by faith, according to the Word. And I spoke it by faith, according to the Word. And now, I can tell you, with all sincerity and all certainty, it works. Ask this pacemaker if it works. I don't need the pacemaker anymore.
Amen.
I'm not going to have them dig it out of there. I went through that when they put it in there. And they didn't put me all the way under when they put that thing in there. I thought it was going to be about that big. Well, it actually is, but the battery pack is about that big. Because that battery pack is supposed to last a long time. It's supposed to last longer than I live. I don't know where this one's going to make it or not. The battery will run down. Something like a 20-year battery of 20 ain't going to do it, brother. No, that's not going to do it. I'm not going to have it recharged.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
That doctor, bless their hearts. I mean, these people... Oh, he said, Brother Copeland, are you all right? Call me, brother. Said, no, Mr. Copeland. Said, Mr. Copeland, are you all right? I said, yes, I am. Okay. He said, now, yeah, everything's going to be all right. I said, yeah, I know that. And so I thought it was about that big, and I think, you know, he's digging around, shoving around. But now you think about a doctor fastening those little wires to my heart, looking through this X-ray magnifying glass. And I did it like that. He said, "Oh, did it hurt you?" I said, "Yeah." And they came in there and they said, "Do you know her?" I said, "I don't think so." And he goes, "How do you know whether you know her or not?" Which I don't. But anybody has a tendency to if you sleep on your back. I don't sleep on my back. But anyway, and I laughed all the way through the thing. And, you know, they snagged me a little bit here and there. I was hooked up to the monitor. It was just AFib is what was doing it. I could tell when it was beating kind of crazy. But, and on the monitor, they had me hooked up, and my heartbeat was 60, 50, 70, 80. I couldn't tell the difference. Then it came back down there, and I hooked up again and just beat right across the board, about 60 beats. Now, I wear this little guy. This is called a Fitbit. Right now, it's 87. When I'm dancing around here, it also tells me how many steps a day I take. Amen. And you know what? We were talking about food intake. If you get the Fitbit Premium, now I don't get any kickback for, I'm not selling Fitbits, you understand? But if you get the Fitbit Premium, it has all these cool recipes. You don't have to figure it out for yourself, chubby, or sweetheart. I didn't intend to say that. Yeah, I did. Oh, glory to God. Don't you love the Word of God and just having fun with the Bible? Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up for to read. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now, I understand that in the synagogue, the readings, you pick up where you left before. They handed him the book of Isaiah, but he went to the 61st chapter. Because he found, you notice he quoted Isaiah more than anyone else? That's because he found himself in the book of Isaiah. 53rd chapter, 52nd chapter, 53rd chapter, 54th chapter. Amen. 55th chapter. Hallelujah. So, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He didn't say in me. Now, the Spirit of the Lord was in him when he was born. Because God, by the Spirit of God, is his father. Mary, his mother. Now you understand why the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy and said, don't let anybody despise your youth. Because the Apostle John and Mary, the mother of Jesus, were members of his church. How would you like to preach to the Apostle John? What in the world could I say in front of him? Amen. Isn't the Bible a wonderful book?
Amen.
You find all these marvelous things. He found the place. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me. What had happened just before this? He was baptized in the Jordan by John. John's last name wasn't Baptist. No, you can go back and read and you can find out, what his dad's name was. He was supposed to have been named after him, but the Spirit of God said, no, his name will be John. So God named him. Amen? So why was he called John the Baptist? Because he was called to baptize in water. I'm Ken of Faith. Because that's what I preach. Well, of course I preach other things. But none of the other things work without faith. And love work, and faith works by love. So I'm a preacher of love, first and foremost. Because of what he preached. Now, this is what Jesus preached. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach. When John baptized him in water, he saw in the Spirit of God land on him like a dove. Amen. And the dove is the bird of peace. And it is a magnificent type of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He sent me to preach deliverance to the captives, to preach recovering of sight to the blind. Now, this anointing began to function in my life and ministry a few years ago, and it's just steadily growing. At Southwest, a woman was in a wheelchair. And I found out later, it was her granddaughter was there with her, and she had dark glasses on. And so I got down in front of her, and I took her glasses off and handed them to her granddaughter. And I said, may I do what Jesus did? She said, by all means. So, and put my hands on her eyes and just held them there. I didn't feel anything. I just held them there until I got a release in my spirit. And I took my hands off and she opened her eyes. I said, what do you see? She said, I see you.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! Praise the Lord.
Now then she came back to MIC the next day and Pastor George interviewed her. Found out she was 77 years old. She was pastor of a church. And she had double vision so bad that she just couldn't see. So she just put her dark glasses on and just went ahead and preached anyway. And amen. Isn't that good? Now, so, and set at liberty them that are bruised to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The acceptable year of the Lord was the great jubilee. And it was supernatural debt cancellation. Supernatural debt cancellation. He closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. So you can preach sitting down. The eyes of all of them in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say, so we don't know what all he said. But the synopsis of it is this. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all them bear him witness and wondered. They didn't have any faith. They just wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? And he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel at the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Many lepers were in Israel at the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman, the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. The thing that made them mad, he said today. Today. And then he literally, in their eyes and ears, insulted them. Because he said, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elias sent except to Sarepta, the city of Sidon, to a woman that was a widow. Well, that's the wrong people. Same thing with Elisha. That's Syrian. Well, they had the same problem then. They had the same problem back there then. The people of God were not paying any attention to God except through religion, and they weren't getting anything. And God had to go outside to find some faith. It made that bunch mad. They wanted to kill him. But that's what he preached.